Well, last week we discovered the enormous effort it takes to feed the Olympic Village. So this week we're keeping the sporty theme together with a baseball-inspired kitchen science.
Well, it's a beautifully sunny day today, so I'm really pleased that Dave has asked me to join him on the cricket pitch on Parker's Piece in Cambridge to do a bit of kitchen science. Now, Dave, you've invited me to the cricket pitch, but you've got a baseball bat. You do realise that's not the right tool for the job?
Well, I do realise it's not quite the right tool for playing cricket with, but it's a lovely sunny day and people are talking about putting cricket into the Olympics. So I thought we'd talk about the physics of hitting things with bats. Cricket bats are a rather complex shape and a baseball bat's a lot simpler. So as a physicist, we always take the simplest system first.
What do we actually need to do this week?
Well, if you've got a bat and a baseball or a cricket ball, take the bat, hold it with just two fingers so you can feel what's going on, and then take the ball, throw it with about the same strength and hit the bat in various different places. So maybe start at the bottom and work upwards and see if you can feel what's going on and see how the ball reacts.
OK, well, I'll start right at the bottom. So here we go. This wouldn't be very good in a game of baseball because as soon as the ball hit the bat, it dropped almost straight down to the ground. The bat sort of swung backwards a bit, but the ball dropped straight down. But that was right at the bottom. So now let's try it a bit further up, about, say, 10 centimetres up the bat. Here we go. Now, that time it didn't just drop straight down, it bounced a little further. And actually, it sounded quite different as well. It felt like it vibrated less in my hands.
Yeah, it does really quite strongly depend on where you hit the ball. And in fact, if you're swinging a bat at the ball, it's exactly the same thing is happening. And how fast it will bounce off will depend on where you hit it with the bat.
So when you're actually playing baseball, exactly whereabouts on the bat you hit the ball makes quite a big difference to how far the ball will go.
Well, there's sort of two things when you're playing baseball you're interested in. One of them is how much it hurts your hand, so how much your hand is moved when the bat hits the ball. And the other one is how far the ball goes.
So why would it make a difference to where you hit it? As long as you hit the ball just as hard, then surely it's going to go just as far.
We'll start off with, we can have a look at a piece of wood, which is even simpler than a baseball bat to think about what's going on.
Now, this is just an oblong piece of wood you've got. It's only about an inch and a half by 2-3 inches or so. What are you going to show us with this?
I'm going to hit it with this big heavy piece of wood at various points along its length, starting off somewhere near the top, maybe 6 inches below your fingers.
Well, as long as you do keep it below my fingers. Okay, so I'm dangling it again, just like we did with the baseball bat, and you're going to hit it with a big chunk of heavy wood. I don't think I can watch. Okay, go. Oh, thank God you missed. Now, that felt to me exactly what I'd expect. When you hit it, it pushed the bit of wood back in the direction you were hitting it.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. That's what you'd expect to happen. Now I'm going to hit it right at the bottom.
Now that time the bottom of the bit of wood swung out in the direction that you hit it, but actually it felt like it was being pushed out of my hand towards the direction you hit it from. But surely it should have just gone back like it did the first time.
Well, in fact, there's two things which happen when you hit a piece of wood. One of them is that the whole piece of wood starts moving in the direction you hit it. The other one is it starts to rotate around its centre of mass, which for a straight piece of wood is just its middle. So when we hit it up near your fingers, then the direction it's rotating and the direction it's moving in are in the same direction. So there's going to be a big vibration at your fingers and it's going to feel quite uncomfortable. But if you hit right at the bottom, now you're trying to twist it in the opposite direction. So the rotation is going to oppose the movement and it's going to push it away from your hand outwards.
So when you hit it right at the bottom, there's a force that pushes the whole thing backwards, that's in the direction that you hit it, but because it rotates around the centre of it, its centre of mass, it also rotates out of your hand, so it pushes the top towards where you hit it from.
Yeah, that's right. And so if somewhere in between, I think probably on a straight piece of wood, it's somewhere around about a third of the way up, you should find that it hardly moves in your fingers at all.
Okay, let's try that again. So if you hit it about a third of the way up, I'll dangle it again and... Yeah, that didn't really feel like it moved in my hand at all. So the most comfortable place to hit a piece of wood that you're dangling in your fingers is about a third of the way up from the bottom so that the backwards force cancels out the rotation force and so it doesn't really pass too much force to your fingers. Now that's really useful, but surely it's got nothing to do with baseball.
Well, if you swing for the ball and manage to hit it in that spot, which we call the centre of percussion, then it'll be much more comfortable on your hands. But that isn't the whole story, and if you're interested in how far the ball goes, there's another effect going on. And to explain that, I've got a smaller piece of wood down here. And with a small piece of wood, I can give much smaller, sharper hits, and so we can try and vibrate this piece of wood.
Where are we starting this time?
We'll start at the bottom.
Okay, let's go up from the bottom. Okay, well, that was quite loud, and I could feel the vibration in my fingers. Shall we move up and hit it again?
Yeah, I'll work my way up.
The sound has really changed, though. You're only a few inches up, but the sound is really different, and it doesn't feel like it vibrates as much. What's happening?
Well, you can't really see the vibrations on this piece of wood. So if you imagine it was a really flexible, springy piece of metal and bent it into a C shape and then let go, what's going to happen?
I expect it would spring back to being straight, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but once it sprung back to being straight, it would be moving really quickly. So it would carry on bending until it was a C in the other direction. And it would keep vibrating like this. This is the lowest speed of vibration, which we call the fundamental frequency of this piece of wood.
So the piece of wood is doing the same sort of thing, and it's vibrating, although we can't see it. But then why does where you hit it affect the sound and the feel of the vibration at the end?
Well, if you imagine that vibrating piece of metal, the two ends are going to be moving a lot, and the middle is going to be moving in the opposite direction. There's going to be two points about a quarter of the way in, roughly, on the piece of metal, which aren't moving at all. They're called nodes. And if you hit the piece of metal in that position, it can't vibrate in this C-shaped way.
So I can see that where you would hit the baseball bat would affect how you'd set its vibration up. But what's that got to do with how far you can hit a baseball?
Well, a baseball bat will vibrate best in either the C-shape or an S-shape, and all the other forms of vibrations don't work very well. And if you hit it in such a way as to vibrate a lot, then you lose a load of energy and the ball doesn't bounce off very much.
So the act of making it vibrate absorbs some of the energy that otherwise you would have given straight back to the ball, and so the ball can't go as far.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why when you hit it right at the bottom of the baseball bat, it hardly bounced off at all, because most of the energy went into vibrating the bat. Whereas if you got what's called the sweet spot a little bit up from that, the bat can hardly vibrate at all, so all the energy goes back into bouncing that ball off as far as possible.
So really, when playing baseball, you want to know exactly whereabouts on the bat to hit the ball, because this could make the difference between a home run and being caught out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Bat manufacturers will very carefully tune the shape of their bat to try and get the sweet spot in the best place possible, and probably in a similar place to the centre of percussion we were talking about earlier, so it's very comfortable.
So does this mean that baseball players actually tune themselves to their own bat?
Yes, different bats will have different sweet spots, so that's the reason why they tend to like having their own bat.
So you could actually fix a baseball game just by making sure that they get slightly different bats?
It is possible, not something I've tried though, Ben.
Well, of course we wouldn't dream of that on The Naked Scientist. Well, that's all we have for this week's Kitchen Science, but next time we'll be back finding out if there's any real cause to say that something is as useless as a chocolate teapot. It may not be one you can do at home, but it's one I'm certainly looking forward to. We'll see you again very soon.
Ben and Dave there, taking advantage of the brief bit of sun we've had this week to go out and play.
And as always, there'll be a full write-up for that on thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience, where we put all of our experiments so you can get full instructions of how to try them all out at home.
The Naked Scientists. For more information, get online at nakedscientists.com.